that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this... Oh, it's a cold Saturday morning, April 26th, 2016, but we do say welcome and good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, and of course, good morning to you, our Heavenly Father, and good morning to you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and good morning to you, Holy Spirit, for the Word says, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, and that name is Jesus Christ, that you are there also. So we welcome you, Lord. Lots going on. Plenty of current events to talk about. Of course, it's the Easter weekend, the way the so-called Christian world looks at it. So I think we've got plenty to talk about today. I'll open up with prayer, and if one of you guys want to close it out, by all means, do that. Well, Heavenly Father, good morning, and we thank you for this beautiful day of life you've given us, Lord. The sun is rising. The day is starting. We give you the praise and glory for it, Lord. We thank you that way back in the beginning that you set these days in motion, and that you knew, Lord, that today this is where we would be, that we would gather together, and we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to find that blessed assurance, Lord. Help us to be comforted in your word, knowing that you are in control, that you are in charge, and that, Lord, you have things covered. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've poured out upon us, Father. Blessings of health, blessings of family, Lord, blessings of being called out of the darkness of the world and being brought into your marvelous light. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, and we request and we pray that for those that are out there that are still lost, Lord, that haven't had their eyes opened, Lord, that are still blind to the, Lord, what we see is the the facts that are going on, Lord, the reasons why this world is in such a mess, and the reasons why this nation is in such a mess, Lord. And it's just because of sin. It's because of the sin of your people, Lord, but they don't even know it. They don't know that they're your people. So Lord, help us. Help us to continue to open the eyes of the remnant. Lord, help us to unplug their ears, Lord, as we do our best to put your truth out, the truth of your word, Lord, of who they are, what they are to do and what they aren't to do, Lord, and also who you are, Lord, that these so-called Judeos out there, Lord, that they wouldn't worship a false Christ, but they would worship you, Lord, Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning, who is, and who is yet to be. And that, Lord, they would look to your word. And, you, Lord, yes, they would believe, but that there would also be repentance and change in their lives. Lord, the Christian world looks at this weekend as a resurrection weekend, Lord. We thank you that at least this weekend, maybe they're thinking of you, thinking of the terrible price that had to be paid, that you willingly paid for a wretch like me. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you that you made a way. That Lord, with man it was impossible, but with God all things are possible, and you made it possible. And we thank you for that. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to smile down upon us today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be with us in this broadcast today, to guide our thoughts and our words. That Lord, that what we talk about as we have this blessed fellowship, that it would be pleasing to you, and that it would be encouraging to the remnant, Lord, that it would encourage them to love and good deeds. We give you all the praise and glory and honor for this, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And got to talk with Jason for a minute or two before the program about a couple things that I thought we'd touch base on sometime this morning, but I'll sure open it up to you guys, John or Jason, if you had something you wanted to start out with this morning.
No, I think that's probably a good place to start off with.
Well, I saw a headline yesterday. Hollywood heavyweights threaten a Georgia boycott over a religious liberty bill. And thought we'd talk about that for just a little bit. Didn't get a chance to research in and see just what the bill entails. Reading here in a news article says that the bill protects religious viewpoints and in turn prevents discrimination against faith-based groups. And you know, we've seen a lot of Christian discrimination lately, discrimination against Christians in the bakeries, the Sweet Cakes by Melissa out in Oregon, and the baker down in California, and floral shops, and businesses all over, that the Antichrist has come in, and the ungodly and those that live in sin have come in and said, yes, you will participate in our sinful life, you will do flowers, bake us a cake, whatever it may be. And we've seen it time and time again where, you know, lives have been destroyed, businesses have been destroyed because of this. And in trying to, the Christian, in trying to be at peace, if at all possible, trying to go along, and they end up getting run out of business, and they are discriminated against. And so Georgia apparently puts together a little bill that says, hey, we just don't want to, you know, we don't want to discriminate against, we don't want to allow these so-called Christians, they need to be able to, if they want to run their business according to their convictions, they should be able to do that. Well, that doesn't sit too well with the Antichrist. That doesn't sit too well with those that get their living off sin, that make their living off causing you and me to sin, that doesn't sit too well with them. And so, says, Georgia Governor Nathan Deal is facing mounting pressure from Hollywood heavyweights to veto a religious liberty bill that critics describe as anti-gay. See, that's the number, that's the problem with it. It's anti-filthy, faggot, pedophile, homosexual. So, I haven't read the bill, but if they think it's anti-gay, there's got to be something good to it. And they are threatening a boycott that could cost the state billions of dollars in business and thousands of jobs. Now, the governor's got till May 3rd, but Hollywood is coming against it. And some couple numbers here, and then I'll throw it out if anybody wants to talk about it. Let's see. Here's the quote from Hollywood. We have deep concerns about Georgia's House Bill 757, and it's called the Free Exercise Protection Act. We pride ourselves on running inclusive companies, and while we have enjoyed a positive partnership on productions in Georgia, we will plan to take our business elsewhere if any legislation sanctioning discrimination is signed into state law. And they're talking, last year, Georgia reported $1.7 billion in in-state spending on film and TV production, 250 film and TV pilots, series, and commercials, and all that. And according to the Georgia Department of Economic Development, those projects brought in more than $6 billion from July 2014 to June of 2015. Now, the NFL, they've weighed in on it. And the NFL policies emphasize tolerance and inclusiveness and prohibit discrimination based on age, gender, race, religion, sexual orientation, or any other improper standard. They set their own standards, I guess. Whether the laws and regulations of a state and local community are consistent with these NFL policies would be one of many factors the NFL owners may use to evaluate potential Super Bowl host sites. So see, Atlanta may lose the Super Bowl. The NBA, oh, they're coming against it. They're weighing in on it. So the thought that comes to mind is the world behind me, the cross before me. We'll see what Georgia does with this.
Yeah. I read something similar this morning about the people in Michigan after this deal in Brussels are starting to wake up and saying no more with this invasion of Syrian refugees. If you look back even 10 years ago, I think maybe further than that, Dearborn, Michigan was being overrun with Muslims. Then it was the next town was, I forget the name, but the one that just elected a majority of Muslims to their city council. Now the next city over, they're proposing to build a huge mosque, one of the biggest in the country, and Islamic school. And the city just denied the permitting for both of those, and the Obama Nation administration is suing them for blocking religious freedom. But one bit of good news, I don't know if you heard this week or not, the governor of North Carolina called for an emergency session, and that session was called to immediately void the ordinance that was passed in Charlotte, the largest city in North Carolina, about gender discrimination, where men can use women's bathrooms and locker rooms.
Yeah.
And that passed overwhelmingly, and they totally voided what was done in Charlotte. So a little bit of good news.
Yeah, and you know, the headlines this morning are San Francisco mayor bans city workers from traveling to North Carolina because of what North Carolina's doing. And so I say good. Good. Keep your queers, your homosexuals, your filthy faggot perverts. Keep them in San Francisco. North Carolina don't want them. We don't want them here either. You know, the lines are being drawn. Do you not see that maybe people are waking up? You know, You see quotes like this: gay right leaders and transgender people say that this type of legislation demonizes the community. Really? And espouses bogus claims about increasing the risk of sexual assaults. It's recruitment for the homosexual community because they don't reproduce, because they're not natural, because it's an abomination before God, so they have to keep these laws rammed through and recruit the children from the elementary school and the junior high and the high schools and the colleges into this perversion death style. It's the only way they can continue on. And they tie it in, oh, that it's a direct attack on civil rights, on human rights. No, I think that when they pass these laws like this, that's one of the only things that's keeping the wrath of God from repeating Sodom and Gomorrah all across the United States, because the cities are becoming as Sodom and Gomorrah.
When I heard that the governor and the House legislation and Senate upheld, voided all that. But you just got to thank God for His patience and His grace and His mercy. Even though we are such a sinful nation, we're so far from repentance. But God hasn't given up on us yet. And just these little glimmers are a sign that, we still have a chance to come to repentance and for a revival. But long ways from it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this story. This is significant in my eyes, and I'm sure it will be in yours as well. But the headline was, "Will a gateway be opened when the arch from the Temple of Baal is reconstructed in Times Square?" Did you see that story?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Rebuilding the Temple of Baal.
Well, not even that. It's more significant than that, I think. But it's part of the Temple of Baal that stood in Palmyra, Syria, will be reconstructed in Times Square in New York City and in Trafalgar Square in London. The specific portion is being erected in both cases. It's 48 feet tall arch that stood at the entrance of the temple. Let's see. So the worship of Baal, also known as Bel, can be traced all the way back to the ancient Babylon, according to Encyclopedia Britannica. Marduk was the chief god of the city of Babylon, and ultimately became known as Bel. So, this is another interesting thing, was according to Wikipedia, the name of the city of Babylon is believed to have originally come from the Arcadian word that meant gate of God, or gateway of God. But now, if you think about it, what else is in New York City and what else is in London? The obelisks that were brought from Egypt, remember?
Yep.
Remember when I did that series on the obelisks? But the plan from this group that's erecting these two in these two locations is to erect them all over the country in major cities.
Yeah, that's how many times over the years, did our pastor put that kind of stuff out? It seems like he even wrote a book called Baal Worship.
Yeah.
And how prophetic. It's not just hidden anymore. They just put it right out in the newspaper as this will be a great thing. One thing I saw in it was that over in the fighting in the Middle East, one of these temples was destroyed and, inadvertently destroyed in a bombing or something like that. So, in the sake of cultural diversity and retaining our ties to the cultural past, that they're doing this. No, they're doing it because they worship Satan, their father, and how many times, if the people would just read the Bible, that was one of the biggest problems. That was the biggest problem in the Old Testament, was when God gave His people, when He gave them the land of Canaan and all the promised land, that he told them. Don't intermarry with them. Don't have anything to do with them, or they'll have you following Baal. You'll be following their god. It's real clear that Baal is one of their gods. It is not our god. They understand it. Oh, that our people would.
Well, when you understand that the leaders, the ones that are behind this New World Order, the European Union and United Nations and all that, they worship Lucifer, period. They've admitted it in their own words, you know.
Yeah.
And back in the day, the cult of Marduk was the root of all ancient pagan religions of the Middle East, Egypt, Greece, and Rome. Those other religions, the deity of Marduk became also known as Baal and Osiris, Apollo, all those, you know, names that we hear about in the different religions. But I think what's important to realize here is that a lot of these so-called occult religions, they still worship to this day Lucifer, which is no different than Baal.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and then they've, a lot of them have morphed into different organizations like the AMA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even the a gate or an arch like that is considered a portal.
Well, yeah, a conduit.
Yeah, a conduit. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, portal, conduit. I mean, it's the same thing. It's a. You know, and as they put those up, I know that I tell you what, it's a fantastic read to start reading about those obelisks that were poured down, and just how much you can, if you start reading about them and look at how much money they spent at the early foundation of this country to have those things brought over here and erected up in the Northeast. It yep. is insane, the amount of money. And you look at the numbers, and it's like, how in the world did they come up with that kind of money to take this task on? I mean, they were moving them with horse and buggy, custom-made cars, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people.
Special ships.
Special ships designed for that. I mean, yeah. You name it. It was a major, it was an ordeal. I mean, I think it was one of the greatest ordeals of the time. I mean, it was just insane. And, you know, privately funded from here and there, and not sure where this money came from, not sure where that money came from, but, you know, what would be equivalent to billions of dollars today is what it cost to take down and re-erect those obelisks.
Right.
And,
we
you
also
know, the only,
remember.
Thing that, the only thing that makes sense is, you know, Satan was behind it. I mean, and you look at where they were placed strategically all through the world, you know, torn down from one place of Egypt where women were taking their children and throwing them into the River Nile. You know, it's satanic, but it is.
Right. Well, think of where one of the most prominent ones is as well.
Right, yeah, in right Vatican. In front of the Vatican, Vatican Square.
Yep.
Yeah.
I saw an article one time, I could never find it again, but it was describing the strategic location of those obelisks, how they've been placed all around the world. I've just never been able to find that article again, and I don't know if it's true or anything, but it was sure interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we know that our God is greater than all others, right? And that
yes.
no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. But that doesn't mean that he still wouldn't allow a people who are willing to let this kind of thing into their country affect them.
Oh, it greatly affects
us. You bet it will.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
If the people would read the Bible,
you kind of wonder if
they would see it.
If it's Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you wonder, are we to tear down these Asherahs? And, you know, I don't know.
I believe there will be a time when we will.
Yeah, I hope that when that time is right, that the Lord would let the people who won't bother to eat a veil know that, that it's the time. And I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be like the days of Gideon again. You know? It will.
Yeah.
And we have to remember, Gideon, I mean, he was told to go tear down the Baals, to go down, tear down the altar. And he did. He just did it at night. You know? And so, that, you know, when that Holy Spirit moves upon this land again, to the Gideons again, well, that might be what happens again.
Yeah. Well, it all ties back to Nebuchadnezzar and the Tower of Babel. You know, they were trying to recreate, what was it, in Iran or whatever, they're trying to recreate the Babylon, weren't they? The city of Babylon?
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting what you see. You know, you, that story of Gideon, there's so much to learn there. You know, but, I mean, you look at one of the things that really has got me thinking about it is, you know, the weapons of their warfare of the Gideon's time was not the modern weapon, and it, you know, generally seemed foolish to, you know, to most people. You think about the clay pots, the torches, you know, the weapons of warfare were not a weapon that was, you know, that was, you know, anywhere close to a Roman short sword of the time. But, you know, the Lord, through his infinite wisdom, just used Gideon and, you know, his 300 men in a mighty and powerful way. And, you know, you think about the weapons that we've got available to us. And the problem is so many people think that they're foolish. You know, they look at, you know, anointing oil. Okay, I got this little bottle of oil. And, you know, that's their attitude. What do you think, you know, that can do? You know, there's been weapons of warfare that have been given out, you know, pound and pulverized with imprecatory prayer power. I mean, there's a lot of people, oh, you know, they'll come up with an excuse just to about get away from doing anything anymore.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, what we need to have is we need to have some people that have got some spunk and some fight in them. You know, and that's what the real miracle is going to be, is to get people to that point, you know, where one, they are going to be obedient and do what they're supposed to be, what they're told to do. I mean, right now you got so many people out there that if the Holy Spirit moved, you know, half of them wouldn't do it because they don't agree with it, they don't understand it, you know, and they would make up excuses why they don't need to.
Yeah.
Well it's rebellion instead of rather than obedience. Rebellion rather than obedience.
One that was in our midst, been gone for well over a year now, but basically called the prayers, the monthly prayers that found and pulverized with imprecatory prayer and calling the people to order and all that was foolishness. The prayers, if you want to pray that prayer of foolishness. Oh, really? I mean, as soon as you, most people don't even realize that it's a spiritual warfare. Fortunately, our pastor revealed that to us through I'm sure the revealing of the Holy Spirit many years ago. But the first time you read that and you really understand that it is a spiritual warfare, and it's not the weapons, like you say, Jason, those things that Gideon used to conquer the enemy, they were not considered weapons by the enemy.
No.
That's a significant point. The reality is
there are common things that you had in your everyday use you could pick up anywhere.
Yeah. Obedience is the key as far as I'm concerned, right? Because all through the Old Testament, the Lord handed over the victory to Israel before they even fought the war, right? He said, I've given you the victory before they even fought the battle. But what was it? Obedience. If we can get to that place where we come to that complete obedience, where the Lord bestows upon us those best gifts, those greatest gifts, that I believe he's just sitting there wanting to give them to us, but he can't because of our own selfish wills, desires, and needs. When we come to that place where we love him with all of our heart and mind, our soul, and we trust in him, we really, truly trust in that our daily bread will be provided from him, and we don't concern ourselves with the things of the world, that's that place of obedience that we need to get, where hopefully there'll be a group of people, the remnant, that when he does return, he will find faith. That's our goal. That has to be our desire, is to come to that place.
Amen. And I think one way we do that is, I was speaking with one of the Gideon Elite, one of the Acres men this week. One of the ways we do that is we don't fear the enemy. Because you're going to honor, you're going to serve who you fear. And we talked about that. That's, you know, sometimes we have to take our thoughts captive. We get so much bad news out there, that you just can't help it sometimes. And you just have to take your thoughts captive. You have to repent and tell yourself, I'm not going to fear them. We're told throughout the Bible to fear the Lord. And, of course, there's a lot that goes along with that, you know, to honor, to revere, to obey, to love. But fear is not done away with. We are to fear the Lord. You know, we're told fear the one who can cast your soul into hell for all eternity. You know, versus just don't fear him who can just kill the body. What you know, everybody dies. Why do you fear him who does that? And that's one of the ways, I think, that we show our obedience to God, is that we fear him, we honor him. We become like the disciples that say we must obey God rather than man. And that is that complete obedience? No, but it's obedience. It's being obedient to him. It's a step in the right direction. It'll take you down a better path than fearing the enemy. Anyway, that speaking with one of the men this week, that subject came up, and we talked about that very thing. We have to remember, you know, Christ said, "Hey, I want your joy to be made full." It's made full in him. We have those that blessed assurance that comes from what? Believing. Well, I believe that Jesus is God, and that's a start. That's a start, but it's not an end. It's not an end, because even the demons believe and they shudder. Well, we believe, and then we should live our life according to that belief. We believe, so then we should be obedient to that word, to his word.
Amen.
Well, about halfway through the program this morning, we've got the phone lines open, folks. 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call. This morning, now you might hear this program replayed. We replayed on Monday evening. Of course, don't have the phone lines open then, but they're open this morning, Saturday morning, the 26th. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in. Kind of on a different note.
Yeah, you can.
Or go ahead, John. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, you remember how they always have to tell us what their plan is. If you start to think about some of the movies that have come out over the years, like The Mummy, how they bring back Egyptian god through a portal, and then there was a series called Stargate. I think I caught one of the episodes one time, but it was a gate between worlds, and it just makes you say about what they're trying to do here with these arches from Babylon.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, when Pastor, you know, taught on that and put that out, he explained that our people can believe a lie when it's put out as the truth, but they'll believe the truth when it's put out as a lie. And things like that are good examples, John. You know, our people can believe it. They'll believe it, you know, but they'll say, "Oh, well, that's just in the movies." And so they believe it. It's a truth. It's put out to where it's presented to our people as a lie. But it's really the truth. And our enemy knows that. And it's a method of warfare. For some reason, yeah, our enemy has to tell us either what they've done, what they're doing, or what they're planning on doing. And they do it in their movies, in their books, in their stories. On another note, Wyoming made the news, the Fox News National, and it was wolf pack in Wyoming goes on rare elk killing spree. And this was just from yesterday. A pack of wolves killed 19 elk in western Wyoming, describing the slaughter as an extremely rare, quote, surplus kill. Wyoming Game and Fish said it's not unusual for wolves to kill one or two elk a night in that part of the state, but 19 elk killed in one night is pretty rare. And that's the highest number they've ever documented in one kill in one night. It says a surplus killing is when an animal kills more of its prey than it can eat and abandons what's left. It was 17 elk calves and two adult cows at a feed ground near Bondurant, which is way up in the northwest section of the state. And they even know the pack. They call it the Rim Pack of wolves that did it. And, you know, here's a quote I'll quote to you that's just an absolute lie. But it's I think it ties back in with what we were talking about. It has to do with fear. Fear of the wrong people. Fear of the wrong thing. Here's a quote from Game and Fish. He said, and that's John Lund of the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, "There's nothing the state can do about the wolves. The animals are protected under the Federal Endangered Species Act. We can't take any action proactively," Lund told Fox News. "It's frustrating for state wildlife management."
Wow. I don't know. I've seen a lot of them get lead poisoning.
Yeah, I have too. And, you know, they say that the only place the wolves are in Wyoming is up in that northwest corner of the state.
Yeah, right.
You know, that they're not anywhere else. And so, you know, if there's no wolves, say, in Carbon County, Wyoming, if Game and Fish and the federal government says, no, there are no wolves in Carbon County, well, then how can you get in trouble for if something that's not there gets lead poisoning? And you know, we've seen that we're not in Carbon County, but we've had reports of wolves in this county. Thankfully not here at the ranch, but in other areas. And you know, I just think that this highlights the mentality. There's nothing the state can do about it.
To protect their kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
To prey on the innocent and the weak.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's couple things. You look at that, you know, it says that, you know, that was a rare occasion for wolves to do a surplus killing like that. No, that's what wolves do. That's why our forefathers worked so hard to kill every last one of them, is because they would come into a sheep herd or a goat herd or a cattle herd, and they'd go on a killing spree. They like to kill animals. That's what they do.
They
get in there and they get the taste of blood in their mouth, and they go from one to the next, to the next, to the next, and they kill. That's what they do. They're wolves. And, you know, I mean, people just need to wrap their, you know, mind around that. You know, I remember my grandfather was a wildlife biologist for many years, and, you know, they were pushing back in the late 80s, early 90s, they were really pushing that reintroducing wolves, and they had these wolf refuges and all this kind of stuff, and you know, he said that's the dumbest thing that could ever happen. He's like, we worked long and hard to get rid of them, and now they just want to introduce them back. He's like, it's set up for disaster. He's like, as they breed more and faster, and he's like, they're on an endangered species list. And if you look at it, it's, you know, why would you want to reintroduce something like that that we worked so hard to get rid of? Like bringing back a cancer.
Exactly, it is. We had a
Wyoming took them off the endangered several years ago. And they'll tell you the same thing. Oh yeah, there's none around there. But you talk to other people, and oh, they sure got some big coyotes running around there.
Yeah, that look like German shepherds.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's not normally what coyotes look like. No, you talk to local ranchers, and they've seen them. They've seen them between here and the mountains to the west. They've seen them between here and the mountains to the south. They've seen them north of town. had a text from a brother out in Montana. He says, rare? It's so unlike wolves' nature. He said, gosh, it's just like ragheads' nature to chop off heads. It's just a natural thing. Amen, brother. Amen.
You guys see there in Delta County, I believe it's Colorado, imagine that. After coming under fire from atheist groups for distribution of free Bibles, the Gideons were handing out Bibles at the school district. Delta County School District has approved the circulation of atheistic, secular, and satanic literature to middle and high school students. One of the books that they're handing out is called The Satanic Children's Big Book of Activities.
Yep.
I don't know what's in that book. But
it ain't good stuff. It ain't good stuff. That kind of came to light back when the in Oklahoma, when they were having at the Oklahoma Capitol, the controversy about the Ten Commandments, you know, being removed, and the statue of Satan or Bohemian or whatever that was going in, and that's what they end up doing is these Satanists come in and they say, well, if you can hand out Bibles, we can hand this out, and they do, and they have their books, that they get pushed into the public school system. Yeah, the little kid's big book of Satan and his activities. And it's oh, Lord, how long? How long, oh, Lord?
Yep. Well, nobody must be awake this morning.
I guess not. That's all right, though. We are. 307-745-5913. You know, these...
It was interesting, because if you look at what's happening over in Australia right now with the vaccine bills, it's sad, and it tell you what, it makes your heart, my heart just goes out to those people over there that are having to deal with. But basically, they... what are they calling it? They're calling it the Public Health and Well-Being Amendment. And basically is what it boils down to is they got a big push for vaccinations over there, and they're trying to get everybody vaccinated. And they came out this year and says, well, if you don't get your vaccinations for your family, your children, and no tax returns. You know, and over there they're already in the, you know, just basically almost taxed out of existence. I've met several people from Australia, really good, hardworking people, but they just had to leave because they couldn't afford to pay the taxes. I mean, it was you know, in some areas they said they're paying 75% of what they make is going just to paying taxes. Other places over there is equivalent to 50-55%. But basically, they've been taxed out of there, and you know, there's some just genuinely good people over there. Well, now they want to take their tax return money if they don't comply with getting stuck, and you know, that equivalent to on lower income families over there. On a lower income family, they're considering is that's a $30,000 hit to them, where they've you know, basically put them in a position where, you know, it's either put your children on the altar to Baal, you know, one way or another. And you know, it's just going to be it's going to be really hard for those people. And it's something that's amended and passed, and they're going to the doctor's office and trying to they're getting them up to par so that they will be complying with it. And you know, just you know, we've talked about these things, these forced vaccinations, one way or another. Well, you know, that's how they got it over there, and that's how they did it. You know, I mean, and it wasn't something that was you know, voted on. It was just put into play. I mean, somebody voted on it, but who voted on it, I don't know. But that's, you know, it's you know, just one more step closer right there.
Yeah, well, a couple weeks ago, I was telling you that they're trying to do away with the religious exemptions from vaccinations here in Colorado, and basically anyone who uses that, invokes that right, they're creating a new list, if you will, of those people who refuse to have their children vaccinated.
Yeah, they want a database. Keep track of everybody that does that, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, people who typically aren't going to want to have their children vaccinated are probably those that they would consider against the establishment.
Well, and I think it's more to that. I think it's, too, it's those that don't take that injection is, I think it affects your DNA. I think it affects your complete, your thinking process different. You know, you look at what's happened to these people once they get stuck with, you know, massive doses of mercury or lead, cadmium, arsenic, they get dumber. And, you know, that's where they want. They want people into a state of mind where they can't think for themselves, where they believe the establishment, where, you know, just like in the days, you think about the movie They Live. Okay, think about that movie. What got the masses to that point where they just did whatever the aliens wanted them to do? You know, it was there's a lot of things that play into the mind control game, and right now I think one of the things that we're dealing with is mass mind control. You look at, you know, between the television, I think vaccinations just play another key part in that mind control scenario. They want everybody to obey the establishment. They want this. They don't want free thinkers.
Right.
And, you know, they're killing them off by that. You know, yeah, you think you want, your best bet is not to be on any list at all. But, you know, like the pastor said years ago, you're going to be on a list one way or another. And that's just the way it is. And you're just going to have to come to that realization. If you're going to be on that list, so you might want to be on a list that shows that you purchased a firearm in the last year.
That's right. And you also want to be on that list called the Lamb's Book of Life. That's definitely a list you want to be on. And if you're on that list...
Yeah, that's the most important list.
That's right. And if you're on that list, then let them put you on whatever list they want. You know, I remember the pastor talking about that very thing. Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Willis over in Illinois.
Good morning, Willis.
Hey, yeah, just listen to the show, enjoying it. I want to turn it a different direction, but I had a question regarding Passover coming up this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anybody's up to it?
Well, we'll try.
Okay. And if you guys want to think about it, maybe talk about it later in the week, that's fine too. But I had a question as far as timing of it goes. I know we're all up on the day. That is that 14th day after the spring equinox. In reading the scriptures, I've come across different versions of the Bible say the timing for taking a Passover is twilight or late afternoon. I was just wondering how important you guys thought that was as far as timing, actual timing. I'm not trying to be pharisaical about it or anything, but I'm just curious if anybody had any... comments on that. And I was thinking about the parable of the 10 virgins and some coming early, you know, being there on time and some being late and the door being closed. And I was just wondering if there might be any relation to that in Passover still.
Well, I think that it ties in, I'll give my two cents real quick, and it ties in with the virgins as far as be ready. You know, have your house in order. Have that oil of understanding. And I think the remnant, at least the remnant we do, I think they have that. And a partaking of the Passover, I think, shows that. It shows that we're paying attention. It shows that we're trying to get our obedience in order. We're trying to you know, because we fully understand it? No, because the Bible tells us to. That's why. It's being obedient. And the timing, I think it says in the evening. I think that's what they did at the original Passover. They took the day, you know, on the 10th day they got the lamb separated, and then on the 14th day they you know had to slaughter it, had to apply the blood, had to cook it, and then they were told to partake of it, you know, basically the evening meal, you know, with their sandals on and their loins girded and their staff in their hand ready, you know, ready. They were to be ready. And I think that ties in with those wise virgins as well. But I think the evening, the evening meal, the timing is I think what we've always done here, and I think that ties in biblically. Guys?
Yeah, twilight is considered basically between the time the sun goes down and the time it gets dark, as far as I can tell. But I think it's more about, like Richard says, the obedience of keeping the day, the door day. You know, it just shows the Lord that's our desire, is to keep these days, these ancient days that David's men kept, the Gideon elite. Jason,
there's just a question.
No, I mean, that
was coming up.
What it says.
I know, obviously, not everybody on the planet
about it. When
keep it at the same time.
You read
time,
about it.
Some are
talks
just
about,
waking
you know,
up
eating
and some
hay,
are going to bed.
Your loins fit in your staff in your hand, too. I mean, you know, how far do you want to take it? Do you have to have your staff in your hand and your sandals on your feet? I mean, you know, I don't wear sandals. So, you know, it's the keeping of the day and eating of the meal. You know, and basically I think that when it talks about that, that's the communion. I think it's the most important day of the year a person can partake of communion.
Yeah, yep. I would agree.
Yeah.
Sure.
And,
yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah. And Willis, like you said, as far as the, you know, exact time, no, it might not be the exact minute, you know, but it doesn't say at the exact time. It says in the twilight, in the evening. And so, yeah, it'll be a little different out here in Colorado than it will be back in Illinois. You know, there's a little time difference. And I think that's what Jason's saying. I think it's a real good application of it, that we, you know, it's the concept. It's the concept of it. Yeah, we don't, you know, when we partake, when we've always tried to, for the last several years, you know, have a gathering at the church for fellowship and a meal and prayer and then a service and partake of communion. But yeah, we don't wear sandals. We don't stand there with a staff in our hand. You know, we don't slaughter a lamb. You know, there's times we've eaten lamb, but yeah, we understand it's communion that we partake of, but we observe that day, to the best of our ability. And, you know, that's, you know, when our children do their best to obey us as parents, as fathers, isn't that pleasing to us? Even if they don't get it 100%, you know, if we've told them, hey, I need you to do A, B, and C, and they say okay, and they get A and B done, but they're trying, you know, they're trying, and they're trying because they love us, and they're trying because they want to please their father, you know, that's pleasing to a father. And I think it's because we're made in His image, it's pleasing to Him when we do the best we can with it, if that makes sense.
Yep. Sure does. All right. Hey, I appreciate it, fellas. You guys have a blessed weekend.
Thanks, Willis. God bless.
Goodbye.
Well, I want you to talk a little bit about the preparation for Solemn Assembly, what we're calling for the remnant to do.
Well, we can sure do that. We have asked. We put it out in the newsletter, and you know, we've had since the newsletter's been delivered, quite a few more phone calls and contacts, people stepping up. And I had 3 calls this week, people saying, you know, I was convicted. And I know that's just the moving of the Holy Spirit, because 3 different people, 3 different parts of the country saying, I got my newsletter, I've been reading it, I need to do more. And so sign me up. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be fasting. And so praise the Lord. We certainly are seeing that happen. And it's a call for prayer and fasting. To those of you that have a heart for the Lord, we request that you do begin to pray and fast for this year's Branson Solemn Assembly. And we're asking for the remnant to come in agreement. And we're having a daily prayer and fast between now and June 10th when we start the Solemn Assembly in Branson. And so you don't have to fast all day. You don't have to fast every day between now and then. You don't have to be in prayer at all times between now and then. But we're asking you to at least fast for a day. Or put this way, at least a meal. Fast for a meal. Be in prayer. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray on the full armor of God, certainly. But pray for the remnant. Pray for repentance. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us here at the ministry as we're planning and putting together the solemn assembly and the gathering there. Pray for repentance. Pray for this nation. That's what we're asking for. You know, and then daily, set your phone, your clock, your alarm. If you don't have any of that, you got a friend that does. And have your friend set his or hers and call you at noon and say, hey, it's noon, and pray. We ask everybody to do that, to pray at noon. Pray the Lord's Prayer and pray for this upcoming solemn assembly in Branson. And then we've asked people to, you know, we understand the Bible says when you're fasting, you don't be like the Pharisees, put on the sad face and let everybody know. But we are asking you to let us know here at the ministry so we can put it on the calendar, because we're making sure this is it's like a team effort, okay, as we are all coming together as the body of Christ. And so, you know, we've got people in Illinois that are fasting tomorrow. We've got people in Texas that are fasting today. We've got people in Colorado that are fasting on Wednesday. And that type thing. And so we want to make sure we have every day covered. Because if we don't, then we'll make sure we get it covered. So we ask you to let us know, and we'll get it on the calendar. And we've got March pretty well covered, but you know, April's coming up, and April's wide open. So we do encourage you to pray and ask God, ask the Holy Spirit what you should do, when, if you should. And you'll be blessed because of it, if you will. And you can contact us. Our office number during the week, 307-742-7582. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And give us a call during the week. Give us send an email anytime. And let us know if you'll answer the call. And when you'll do that. And then as we're wrapping up, just about out of time this morning, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We'll have a service Sunday morning starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and that's noon on the East Coast. And you can join us. If you can't join us in person, you can join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video streaming. Well, guys, thanks. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting.
be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Move it, moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.